First Corinthians 2,
we are looking at Paul's three men, right?
Paul's three men. Adventure in spiritual growth and conduct and all of that.
First Corinthians 2 verse 9.
But as it is written, eyes have not seen, nor ears heard, neither has it come into the heart of man, the things which God has prepared for them that love him. And we said, before you jump into any Bible verse and say, you know, eyes have not seen, ears have not heard, you have to look at what is being discussed. Only an untruthful person takes people's words out of context. Only someone who is mischievous and is not a sucker for the truth takes people's words out of context. The Bible will mean today what it meant 2,000 years ago. It cannot have a new meaning today because of your situation. The truth is one. If you have your truth and I have my truth, one of us is telling a lie, or both of us. If someone says, what happened at, give me the name of the market now. Yaba market. There's a market in Yaba here. So, what happened at Yaba market that made the news? You say, what news? Which of them? Many things happen in the market every day. They say, oh, about the man and the woman that fought themselves to death. Now, nothing like that happened. And I'm not prophesying in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm just giving. Okay, that fought themselves and naked themselves. Okay, that maybe that's better than saying they fought themselves to death. There's someone comes and say, ah, it's the woman that started it. The woman gave the man one dirty slap. You know, slap is very from dirty slap. Have you had a dirty slap before? I had one when I was in boarding house. It was a dirty slap. I couldn't see. For the next 5 minutes, I couldn't see anything. It was a dirty, dirty slap. Have you had a dirty slap before? Yeah? Your mom? Very dirty slap. You know, so the woman gave the man a dirty slap. And the man said, I don't want to touch you, man. I don't want to touch you, man. Eventually, he touched you, man. Then someone else comes and say, no! They were trying to pass somewhere. Then the man bodied the woman. And she fell into the gutter. I said, you. Did she fall in the gutter? I said, gutter, okay. There was no even gutter or drainage where they were. What will you say? We say, I believe both of them. There's no gutter, but there's gutter. That's the way you take the Bible when you have multiple meanings to one verse. There's no gutter, but there's a gutter. There's no gutter to fall into, but she fell into a gutter. No. You can't have a private interpretation to what someone else wrote. We must ensure the Bible means exactly what the Bible says. It must mean that to us. So when Paul says, eyes have not seen, ears have not heard, we need to ask, what has eyes not seen? He's not talking about your greatness. He's not talking about what God wants to do for you tomorrow. In fact, in verse 10, he already tells you, but it has been revealed. So can you see how mischievous it is not to read and just take verse 9 and say, you know what God wants to do for you? Nobody has seen it. No. He says, but it has been revealed to God, to us by His Spirit. Concealed and revealed. Eyes have not seen it, but eyes have seen it. So we need to find out whose eyes has not seen it. And we need to find out who it is revealed to. And that's why the church is for Bible study. There is no need to have a special day where we say this one is Bible study. All our meetings are meant for Bible study. Those under persecution who are threatened by the rod and staff, who are literally fellowshipping in the valley of the shadow of death, are doing Bible study. How can the Church of Christ now say, oh, we don't do Bible study. What we just want to do is as soon Sunday. As soon. As how? What we want to do is, we just want to do couples Sunday. So what about those who are not married? They should not show up. There's no gospel for the married. Just the same way there's no gospel for the rich. The gospel addresses everyone. Any gospel you preach that has a separate audience is probably not the gospel. Let's remove the probably. So we need to look what eyes have not seen. So we began our study from 1 Corinthians 1, right? And we read through and we said that, okay, Paul was making an argument about God's wisdom to save man, right? Right? So he starts in verse 18. He says, for the preaching of the cross, 1 Corinthians 1 now, the preaching of the cross is to them that perish, foolishness. But to us who are saved, it is the power of God. So he says, the preaching of the cross is foolishness to some people. So he begins to make a distinction in mankind. The same thing, some people see as foolish, some people see it as power. I see it as power. So verse 19 says, for it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and I will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Verse 20, where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Has God not made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom did not know God, because they were too wise to see God. But I find his wisdom wise enough. He pleased God by the foolishness of the preaching to save them that believe. Now we're in verse 23 and 20 to 25. Where to go? But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, unto the Greeks foolishness, but to them which are called, both Jews and Greek, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. Amen. So there's an argument. The argument is God's wisdom versus man's wisdom. Paul says, in man's wisdom, he cannot receive God's wisdom. He sees it as foolish. We began to explain in first track that how can you say the one who is going to make me have eternal life will die? A very, very illogical argument. The word foolishness, there's the word Moria. Not Moria. Moria. M-O-R-I-A. It means it's out of place. How do I say the one who will give eternal life will die? Why should he die? The one who will save Israel, the savior of the world, will be beaten, will be nailed to the cross, and he will not be able to do anything. I thought if he's the savior of the world, the moment they slap him, thunder should strike. If he's the savior of the world, if you were Jesus, what would you have done? You have that power. You know, he said it, he told them in that garden, he said, I have the power to call legions of angels. He said, they are within my control because my kingdom is not of this world. That means in that garden, drama can happen. When he came to arrest Jesus, fine, I will surrender myself to be beaten and all of that. I will resurrect, but you will see what? You will see wonders. Come and see American wonder. You will see wonder. As you are coming to arrest me, I can just let water just start coming from the ground. First barricade. And I tell you that, I did it. Now, water go down. I still come back. I say, fire. I will allow one person born. So they will know that it's not small fire. So they will know that it's original. It's not AI. Fire will burn. They want to arrest me. Father, unto your hand I commit my spirit. As they want to arrest me, I'll just turn to whirlwind. Catch him. As you are catching me, you disappear. 23 people came. Remain 19. As they are putting handcuffs, I'll just do like this. You know, like, let me show you that I'm the Messiah. I just want to die. But he was like a lamb led to the slaughter. Have you seen where they are leading a lamb? I didn't say Agbo. Agbo is not lamb. Lamb does not have horn. You know lamb? Those ones that they have ears that just drop. Huh? Have you seen where they are going to kill a lamb before? He doesn't even know what's going on. Just going. You are bringing the knife. You know, Agbo already knows that you are bringing the knife. Agbo is already doing Agbo style. If you are not careful, it's not you that will kill the Agbo. The Agbo will use it for a layer. So, he said, he described Jesus as a lamb led to the slaughter. That means he surrendered himself. The Greeks heard that and say, that cannot be the savior. It's impossible that someone this weak is this strong. So they call the wisdom of God foolish. So that's the argument of Corinthians. Especially 1 Corinthians 1 to 1 Corinthians 3. That's the argument. That God has a wisdom that the natural man cannot receive. So he calls it, eyes have not seen, ears have not heard, that someone who is that weak is that strong. God's plan is so concealed to the natural man that he sees it as foolish. So, eyes have not seen, ears have not heard, it's not a glory, it's not a glory, it's a, is a verse we should be quoting to pray for the unsaved. Eyes have not seen. Ears have not heard. Now it comes to the heart of man. Their hearts begin to open. They begin to see the revelation of God's plan. God's wisdom begins to open itself to them. That is the prayer of 1 Corinthians 2:9. Is it making sense? See, now you have seen that Bible study is a must. It's a must. So, eyes have not seen, ears have not heard. Now that has come to the heart of man. Who's, which man? The natural man. Alright, so we are already talking in Corinth. So, we said, throughout the scriptures, there has been a distinction between humanity. Right? That was what we were looking at last week. Remember? That in humanity, there's a distinction. We went there because some have said, Paul saying there's a carnal man, and there's a spiritual man, and there's a natural man, which we have looked at Paul's spiritual carnal, we are still going to evaluate, but we have labeled them. Paul mentioned a natural man, he mentioned a spiritual man, then he mentioned a carnal man. Right? Good. And someone said, why will Paul distinguish mankind? There's a sect in the body of Christ, Christ, amen? God be the judge of all, everyone. That say that everybody is saved. And they have their verses where they use. I've told you that you find something in the Bible does not make it biblical. Biblical is not a verse. Biblical is a summary of everything. That means when I've read Genesis to Revelation, I can say this is what the Bible say. Because in the Bible you find people who raped others. You cannot say the Bible says Tamar was raped. That means we can walk boldly in rape. Or we can be rapists. You can't be a rapist. I say, but it's in the Bible. It's biblical. It's not biblical. Biblical will now be you reading it through and see that God did not sanction that. Is it making sense? So what is biblical? Biblical is holistic. You can't say biblical is because the Bible says this. There's children marriage in the Bible. People's head were cut off. Amen. People touched the ark and died. Things happen that you say, if you put Jesus in that shoe, it doesn't fit. There are things that happen in the Bible that if you put Jesus there, that's not his size. So I think we had a teaching like that, explaining God in Christ, right? So you go listen to it. And Ageless God Unveiled. I don't know if we have that recorded. But I know we're explaining God in Christ. I think we have 3 series or 2 series. If I'm not mistaken. But just go to JC Media. Explaining God in Christ. Where we explain events in the Bible. What makes something biblical? Alright. So, where are we? Where are we before I went to biblical? Someone help me. So, yes. So, they have places where they quote in the Bible. For example, say, in him we live, we move, and have our breath. All creation in him. He has given everybody boundaries. The boundaries of the ocean. Where to stop and all of that. So, in him, humanity live, move, and have our breath. And he said, that's salvation. That God said, let us make man in our image. He didn't say, man who believes. And then he said, you that you have been taught to go out. Actually, he didn't mention belief. There's nowhere in the prophets from Genesis to Malachi that mentions belief. You also not find word faith. Where did you find it that Moses believed? That Moses had faith. Abraham believed, of course. Yes, but that Moses had faith. Or that you have to believe in God to be saved. It's not explicitly written. So, the argument is, if it's not explicitly written, then it must be that God just wants humanity to be saved. Now, that was why the first world was destroyed. So that there's a fresh start and all humanity is saved. So we began to raise an apology. And say, okay, what's our defense? If everybody is saved, why will he say, go and preach to the world? Mark 16:15. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Whosoever believes and is baptized is saved. Whosoever believes not is damned. So why would Jesus give a great commission if everyone is saved? No, there are extremes in doctrine. There are people who say, oh, everyone is not saved. And not even everyone that believes will be saved. You know, that's ridiculous. But you're saved, yeah? Are you not? You're not sure? I'm a child of God. I'm a child in my father's house. There's a place for me. I'm a child of God. Yes, I So the universalist line is nobody needs to believe anything. Everybody's saved. But what does the scripture say? In John 3, so we said, there has always been a distinction in humanity. Jesus made that distinction. The prophets did. And Paul now brings his own label and calls it the natural man versus the spiritual man. It's not heresy. Paul's distinction is not heretic. It is biblical. Look at John 3. Nicodemus came to Jesus and said, you know, you're a teacher. You work miracles. In verse 3, Jesus now said, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said, how can a man be born second time? Will he go back into his mother's womb and all of that? You know, there was a time I was just thinking about it, that how about, now this is away from the teaching. I don't know how my brain works, but I was just thinking that what if life was the other way around? Where you come into the world old, and then you just find yourself in a nursing home, and then you go to retirement, and then you go to work, and then you are in the university, then in the secondary school, the primary school, and you become a baby. Then you go back to your mother's womb. How about if it's the other way? I think you'll have been more, it'll have been sweeter. What do you think? Because you'll be getting elder. I was just thinking. No, I don't take anything. I don't smoke. Alright, where are we? So, Jesus makes a distinction. So, Nicodemus' question actually bet that. How can a man go back? Will he go back again into his mother's womb? And Jesus said, verse 5, verily I say unto you, except a man be born of water, that is of the Spirit. So, he's explaining being born of water as being born of the Spirit. So, there's something called being born of the Spirit. He cannot enter the kingdom of God. Can we read verse 6 together? That's important. Well, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. And that which is born of the Spirit is Spirit. That's a distinction in humanity. So Jesus is boldly saying, there is a man that is born of the flesh. And there is a man that is born of the Spirit. You can't say all humanity is the same. You can take back to Genesis and then see how God put it. Adam gave birth to Cain and Abel. Two humanity or two humans, one father, one mother. Then John will now say Cain was born of the wicked one in 1 John 3. That Cain's origin is of the devil. Ah. If you go back to Genesis and say, ah, how is Cain's origin of the devil? Cain came from Adam, Abel came from Adam. It tells you, even in Genesis, there's a distinction in humanity. Not all Israel are Israel. Isaac gave birth to Jacob and Esau. Two nations, we looked at that last week, remember? Two nations in one womb. And one is cursed, one is blessed. Humanity has always had a distinction. It is not Paul that brought the natural man. The natural man had always existed from Genesis. Ishmael and Isaac, both children of Abraham. But one is called the seed of Abraham. And when God was going to talk to Abraham in Genesis 22, he said, your only son, Isaac. So, where is Ishmael? Does not exist in the picture, even though he is born of Abraham. There's a distinction in humanity. So, you can't say everybody's saved. Mm-mm. We can have two children of the same parent, and one has eternal life, and the other does not. Because eternal life is not transferred from parent to children. That you're a pastor's child does not make you a believer. You've got to believe the gospel yourself. And there are many people who just grew up into that. You know, my dad's a pastor, my mom is a deaconess, whatever that means. Yeah? My mom's a deaconess. Our firstborn is a deacon or elder. No one, when people have big stomach, they're elders. Right? Deacon is the one that has money. I'm just kidding. Yeah. So, I know how people can clip all this and say, that's what he thinks. That's not what I think. So clip that part too with it. So you feel, because my dad is a pastor, my mom is a pastor, a pastoress, a pastor missus. A reverend missus. We don't have doctor missus, we just have, we have pastor missus. But we don't have doctor missus. Or engineer missus. There's nothing like that. Engineers are engineers. Pilots are pilots. Doctors are doctors. and you feel, because my dad's a pastor, I'm saved. I grew up in morning devotion. The first song I heard in my life. Praise the Lord, who singles. After that, good morning, Jesus, good morning. I know you come from heaven above. The Holy Spirit. Then I will. I will enter. Fast forward. I will say, this is the little matter of me. I fast forward already. He has made me glad. I am so glad. I will rejoice. I'm so glad. What's next one? You see? You are saved. Take glory. If you don't take that glory, something will happen that morning. So imagine growing up into that where it is automated playlist. And you just, I'm saved. But no. The distinction in humanity is that the flesh is flesh. The one who is born of the spirit is spirit. Don't mix it. So the universalist doctrine is not true. There's a human life and there's the human born of God's spirit. Isaac, Ishmael, Jacob, Esau, Cain, Abel. You there? So Jesus makes that distinction. How is a man born of the spirit? In John 6, verse 63. It is the spirit that quickens. The flesh profits nothing. The words I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. But there are some of you that believe not. So how is a man born of the spirit? By believing in his word. What is his word? His gospel. What is his gospel? His wisdom. What is his wisdom in 1 Corinthians 1? The deep things of God. Huh? Huh? So by believing the word, you're born of the spirit. Look at, so there's a distinction in Matthew 25. Matthew 25. Learn something? Verse 32. Matthew 25, verse 32. And before him shall be gathered all nations. Jesus is talking. And he shall separate them one from another. See, all nations. He will separate them one from another. Then he said, as a shepherd divides what? His sheep from, which one are you? Eh? I thought you want to be the greatest of all time. You don't want to be goats. Eh? Which one are you? So, there's a distinction in all nations. His sheep and the goats. No, he didn't call it his goats. The sheep and the goats. So there's a distinction. In 1 John 5, these are very foundational teachings. Usually when you're reaching out to those who are unsaved, you have to explain. There's nothing like everybody in the world is a child of God. Made by God, created by God, given the breath of life by God. Not everyone is saved. You're not saved by breathing. You are saved by believing. 1 John 5. Look at verse 4. For whosoever is born of God overcomes the world. See, there's something called the world. And this is the victory that overcomes the world. Our faith. Look at verse 19. And we know that we are of God. And the whole world lies in the wicked one. That word wickedness is actually the lie in the wicked one. So, he says, there's something like the people who are born of God, and there's something as such as the old world that lies in wicked one, that lies in darkness. So, there's a distinction in the scriptures. So, Paul also had this distinction. Go back to 1 Corinthians 2. Let's start from verse 1. So, we're looking at Paul's three men. So, Paul had three kinds of men that he taught the church in Corinth. Funny enough, he now used this a bit in other churches, because I recall in Galatia, the church in Galatia, he told them that there are some of you who are spiritual. So it was Paul's doctrine of separating. So why Jesus would call it that which is born of the flesh is flesh, that which is born of the spirit is spirit? What would Paul call it? Yeah? The natural man and the spiritual man. Is he teaching what Jesus taught? Okay, yeah, 1 Corinthians 2. That's 1. And I, brethren, I, Paul, not hear me, I, Paul, when I came unto you, I came not with the excellency of speech, or of wisdom. Now, of wisdom, which wisdom? I'm hearing some, there are people here who are saying wisdom of God. I want to hear your reason. When I say, I did not come to you in with excellency of speech or of wisdom. Whose wisdom? Right. Why? What is the wisdom of man? What does the wisdom of man do? Or does, or whatever. Eh? He sees the wisdom of God as foolishness. Okay, good. It opposes God's wisdom. For I am determined not to know anything among you, save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And I was with you in weakness, in fear, and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with the enticing words of man's wisdom, but in the demonstration of the Spirit and power. So can we say the demonstration of the Spirit and power is the gospel? Yes, sir. Huh? Is it miracles? The demonstration of the Spirit and power, 1 Corinthians 2:4. Is it miracles? I think the answer is there. Is it miracles? Devote! Is it miracles? No. By implication. You see, leave the implication. Fine. When the Spirit is demonstrated and the power of God is in full flow, the sick are healed, the dead are raised. Amen. But Paul is saying, when I came to you, I brought the power of God. What did he call the power of God in 1 Corinthians 1? Eh? He said, hey, the preaching of the cross, verse 18 now, 1 John 1:18, the preaching of the cross to them that perish is foolishness, but to us who are saved, it is the power of God. It's really that same power. And he says, when I came unto you, I did not come with the excellency of man's wisdom, but in the demonstration of the Spirit. So what, how does the Spirit of God demonstrate himself? Men getting saved by the preaching of the gospel. That's how you know the Spirit of God is in a place. That there can be healings, and God is not there. Did Jesus not say, many will come and say, we cast out devils in your name, we heal the sick in your name, and say, I never knew you. No, be me, do am. Amen? Depart from me, you workers of iniquity. The primary demonstration of God's Spirit in a place is that God's wisdom is taught. That might sound boring, it might sound pale, it might sound colorless, it might not sound exciting, but that's God's wisdom. Now let's go on. It says that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. That means Paul is emphasizing to the church in Corinth that nothing else should get you saved. You can't get a man saved apart from the power of God. Away from the power of God. Sorry, what is the power of God? Remind me again. Eh? It is seen in the preaching of the cross of the gospel. If you get a man saved with pancake, I remember there was an outreach like that. The pancake at Zobo. Yeah, in the battle. We pancake at Zobo. Don't give us pancake. As you are entering the hall, self, you're already smelling. It's gonna be a glorious service. Pancake Zobo. See, as you are giving them like this, they will listen to Jesus. So I said, we're very raw. There was no time for, so I said, may I die the day I preach the gospel with pancakes. Fine. Now, let me lay down the thin line. Because there is no difference in the pancakes and when you take medication somewhere. And you give them free eyeglasses. And you give clothes. I'm just saying. So may I not die? I have done it. I've actually now ministered to people and sometimes you listen to them. Someone that they are sending out of house. You are literally seeing the landlord throw the stuff out. Now say, I bring to you Jesus. I said that wisdom of God is not working in your head. You calm down. If there's a way you can help. You know, if you pay the rent and you get them back into the house, they will listen to you. But you must ensure that your message is clear. Because if anyone who pays rent will get saved, will come to church. That's the truth. You don't know. You don't know. There was one brother like that was coming to fellowship. He was so energetic. Actually, after every fellowship, he used to collect collabo. Kulabo is rice and chicken and plantain. The day I knew was the day Kulabo did not show. Just said, and I've been saved too, and I've been saved too. you want to unsave me? So I said, what's going on? What's happening? Why is he shouting? And I said, normally I used to give him, so the person that was discipling him, so I used to give him food after every service. And all that. I said, did you explain to him that the gospel is not in rice and beans? He said, righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. The brother was looking at me like this, this one's not even serious. This one I said, we should come and finish fight. So what will you now do? What will you say to this now? So I said, I called him, I said, salvation. He said, let's leave salvation. Ah, that's why you're like, this one is not saved yet. He said, let's leave salvation. Let's sort this rice. So I told the disciple that you preached Nigerian politics salvation to this person. Rice and Ororo is not saved. You will have to sit him down and retrain that. You don't get people saved with good music. Oh, if we play good music, everybody will not gather. They will listen to us. You know, I want by the one to call Fuji musician. God was okay, I do. Fuji. You came from heaven to earth a long way. To show the way. Yep. I said, I'm serious. 2009. It's not far. About 16 years ago. From the with gongong and from the air to the grass. My dad, you paid though. Along with. And so the boys were coming around. Yeah, I'm the grass with the great. And the great to the sky. Yeah. And when they were done, the moment the pastor grabbed Mike and said, he's appointed for a man's diamonds, everybody left. They have died twice. Everybody left. How many people run into church every December 31st before 12 o'clock? How many come the next Sunday? Yeah, exactly. A type and shadow of how their salvation, how that kind of salvation vanish. The gospel is the power of God. It's not in man's wisdom. It's not in youth empowerment. They're giving you motivation speech. In 2025, dream big. You are still dreaming. 2025, you are still dreaming. See, if you can dream it, you can, oh God, wake up. Wake up, smell the coffee, go to work. Amen. Dream at work. If you are dreaming big and you are sitting at home, Ebiapa. Ebiapa is not a Greek word. Ebiapa means, oh, you will fast more than Paul. The you in you is bigger than the you in you. Who is in you? Whatever you think you can become. And that's what you think you go use to get men saved. That's man's wisdom. It is bereft of the power of God. The power of God. He says, man sees as, what is this? How do you tell someone that when someone offends you, you go to the person and you tell them that, oh, I didn't like what you did. But you know what? Let's sort it out. I don't want to fight you. Eh? Lie. You not say I'm mumu. The power of God says, be mumu. No! The wisdom of the world says, no. You must forgive, but don't forget. Don't forget. You must ensure that they learn their lesson. You're gonna learn. You're gonna learn the hard way. Selah. The wisdom of the world says, fight back. God says, turn the other cheek. I've not even finished getting out from this one. The wisdom of God is out of place in human reasoning. I embrace God's wisdom. Oh, you don't want? So, Paul begins to make a distinction. He says, the preaching of the gospel is done, or better still, salvation is by the power of God, the demonstration of God's Spirit. And he was talking about the simplicity in preaching the gospel. So, by the time he now came to verse 9, I said, eyes have not seen, ears have not heard this simplicity. The eyes of the natural man, the ears of the natural man cannot comprehend that God will stoop so low, become a baby, grow up to become a man, then die the sinner's death to save the sinner. Eyes have not seen this. The ears of the natural man cannot hear this. Why? It will always be foolish to him. It will always be out of place. But it has been revealed to us, verse 10, by the Spirit of God. Because the Spirit of God searches, yes, the deep things of God. For what spirit knows the things of a man? Except the Spirit of a man. So the things of God knows no man except the Spirit of God. So we know the things of God. You don't think you do? Verse 12 now says, now we have received not the spirit of the world. So he makes a distinction again. We have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given us or given to us of God. So he says there's a spirit of the world and there's a spirit of, let's make a distinction. The spirit of God receives the wisdom of God. The spirit of the world rejects the wisdom of God. He calls it foolish. Big 2025, you are still going to church. I pity you. There's nothing like believing. Who are you? Someone said, Are there not nations that don't pray? Are there not countries that don't pray? Are they not wealthy? Imagine reducing the entire, your entirety, your entire life, spirit, soul, and body, to paper, to figures in an account, to something that when a man breathes his last oxygen and breathes out his last carbon dioxide, does not matter again. He can touch the money. He can't spend the money. There's a joke like that. A rich man said he was not going to give his money to anybody. And when he dies, they should bury all his money with him. That he worked for it alone. That he'll go and spend it in the world beyond. So the children said, okay. He made them sign an undertaking that they were going to bury all his money with him. They signed. He made them swear. They went. They swore. So when they were going to bury him, they wrote a check. He said, we can't bury everything, so just cash it out there. So they wrote the check and then put it in the coffin. Amen. And guess who owns the remaining money? Man without God's breath, without God's plan, is vain. What gives life a meaning is the Spirit of God in the life of a man. Don't reduce it to puff. Don't reduce it. The work of appealing to souls is the work of the Holy Ghost. Are you listening to me? So Paul talks about the natural man. Who is he? Let's read verse 13. We're in verse 13, Abi. So it says, we now know, verse 12 says, we now know the things that are freely given to us of God. Why? Because we have the Spirit. Because we have the Spirit of, not the Spirit of. Thank you. Verse 13 now says, I'm sorry, let me just ask, is it getting simpler now? Preaching of the gospel? Is it in a simple way? There's the Spirit of the world, there's the Spirit of God. There's the natural man, there's the spiritual man. The natural man does not receive the things of God because he's foolish. The spiritual man receives the things of God because by faith he has accepted his word. Is it making sense? Simple. Verse 13. Which things also we speak? When Paul says we, he's talking about himself, Apollos, all the people who teach the church in Corinth. Not in the words which man's wisdom teaches. But in that which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with, we've explained this one. Comparing spiritual things with, the word comparing actually means to explain. To explain, now explaining spiritual things with the spiritual man. Because he's using the man to explain. He said, this man, he said, he has the Spirit of God, not of the world. So he's using a spiritual man who is now born of God to explain spiritual things. But the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God. So the natural man is the one that calls it foolish. For their foolishness unto him, they are out of place. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual, pneumaticos, pneumaticos, he that is spiritual, of the Spirit, he that is of the Spirit, judges all things, yet himself is judge of no man. For who has known the mind of the Lord, that he may teach people about the Lord? So that instructs him now. Let's broaden it. Who has known the mind of the Lord, that he may teach people about the Lord? But we, the spiritual man, have the mind of Christ. Verse 1 now, chapter 3. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto Cana. So, he introduces another man, Cana. We already know the natural man. Who is the natural man? Accept, Cana. Accept too. The one who has not received, the wisdom of God. What is the wisdom of God? The gospel. What is the gospel? The preaching of the cross. What is the cross? That's what we're here now. What is the cross now? The work of Christ. What Christ has done. Alright, good. So the preaching of what Christ has done in humanity, for humanity, is the message of the gospel. If a man believes that, he is now God's kind of man. The Spirit of God now dwells in him. Jesus will call it, he is now born of the Spirit. That's exactly what he was telling Nicodemus. Now you are born of the Spirit if you heed my word. Okay, good. But he introduced another man. He says, that's the natural man. He said, there's the spiritual man. The spiritual man is the one who is born of the Spirit. I mean, who does not have the Spirit of the world, who sees God's wisdom as wise, right? Come on. He now says, but I, brethren, could not talk unto you as unto a spiritual man, but as unto carnal. Then he calls the carnal man the babes in Christ. The word carnal is the word S-A-R-X. It's almost like he is playing sax. But add R. Can I? The word natural is the word sukikos. Earthly. Let me just give you a reference there. Sukikos. P-S-U. Okay, you're waiting for it. P-S-U-C-H-I-K-O-S. The natural. It means earthly. You find in the 1 Corinthians 15:44, talking about our earthly body. 1 Corinthians 15:44, 1 Corinthians 15:46, James 3:15, where James talk about the wisdom of the world. He says it's earthly, sensual, and devilish. So there's a wisdom that keeps malice, that is bitter, that envy and strife. So this wisdom does not descend from above, but it's of the world. It's earthly, sensual, and devilish. That word earthly is natural. Natural. That is, it does not come from God. It opposes God's kind of wisdom. I think we have a teaching like that. Two kinds of wisdom. Good. Then you find it in Jude 19. It means without the Spirit, right? So, 1 Corinthians 15:44, Sukikos, 1 Corinthians 15:46, James 3:15, and Jude 19. Without the Spirit. So, a natural man, look up. Can a natural man be very intelligent? Okay. Can a natural man be the best student in class? Can a natural man be the CEO of a multi-billion dollar company? Eh? And he's a natural man. What now makes him God's man? What makes him a man of God? So, remember last week, we now look at, there's a man of the world and there's a man of God. Abi? Isaac was God's man. Isaac was the man of God. Sometimes when you say man of God, the thing that comes to people is pastor. No. Every believer is a man of God. Say, I'm a man of God. That's that heavy in your mouth. Say, yeah, me. Moi. Oh, stop this confession. Stop it. Say, I'm a man of God. I belong to God. Say, I belong to God. Oh, you don't belong to God? You don't? I'm a man of God. So we see that in Jacob and Esau. One was a man of God. One was a man of the world. So there are two kinds of men. Paul now breaks it down and says, yeah, even though there are two kinds of men, I could not even talk to you. You now look at the church in Corinth and say, you are not natural. Fine. But I cannot even talk. I can't talk to you as also spiritual. Because there's something off about you that does not look spiritual. I had to speak unto you as unto Cana. Oh. Don't forget, last week I introduced you to three nations. Jesus also taught it. Have we forgotten? Do not go to the Gentiles, nor the Samaritans. Go to the house of... So we got to explain the Samaritans. God asked Israel not to marry outside of Israel. But some people now found the Assyrians and some other tribes, and then they brought them in. So they were now called Samaritans. That's half Jacob, half stranger. Jacob is their father by reason of they married into Israel. Is it making sense? Come on, is it making sense? So, Jesus, Paul takes a cue from that and says, there are some children of Jacob that are not purely Jacob. So he calls the church in Corinth out on social media and says, I could not talk unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal. The word carnal means sensual. Almost earthly. We're going to see that much more next week. He said, even as unto babes in Christ. Even as unto babes in Christ, the word nepios. Play for me as I close. N-E-P-I-O-S. N-E-P-I-O-S. Taking from the word nepiazo. That is infant. So, let's go back to 1 Corinthians 3:1. That's where we are now. We'll close there. Can we 1 Corinthians 3:1 together? And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto... Wait. So. Interesting. Could not speak unto you. Don't forget, he has used the word speak in chapter 2. So when I came unto you, I came. I was not speaking with man's eloquence. Right? But I came to speak unto you in the demonstration of the Spirit and power. That says, in verse chapter 3, and I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto a spiritual man. But I have to speak like I'm talking to a baby. So he introduces the third man, the carnal man. which we begin to look at. We still take a look at the spiritual man and the natural man properly. But the focus of this is actually on the carnal man. Verse 2 says, I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for you are not able to bear it. Neither are you now able, for you are yet carnal. For there is among you envy and strife and divisions. Are you not carnal and walk as the natural man? Is he making sense now? That is, he's saying, the spiritual man ought to have a poise, a panache, a carriage. I don't see it. He says, when I come into your midst or among you guys, I cannot talk unto you like you are spiritual men. I have to talk to you as you are carnal men. Because there's envy, strife, divisions among you. You walk like the natural man. You walk like the wisdom of God is strange to you. You walk like the wisdom of God is foolish. Eventually, you are going to see that in that church, people were eating food offered to idols. In that church, they had idolatry, they had fornication, they had selfishness and greed. They were taking each other to court. Coalition. They were doing coalition in that church. I belong to Paul. I belong to Peter. I belong to apostles. You are walking like the natural man. So beginning to look at the carnal man. Because it's easy for everybody to say, I'm not a carnal man. But Paul says, you don't talk it, you walk it. He says, you walk like natural man. He says, no, I don't walk like that. I wear high heels. Come on. Receive God's wisdom. Are you blessed? Show your neighbor in 2 minutes what you learned. So that's it. How many of you understand, till this point now, you understand the natural man, the spiritual man, the carnal man. You understand the preaching of the gospel, how it makes a man spiritual? The spirit of the world, the spirit of God. Is every man saved? Eh? Can you see how you can teach easily? Is every man in the world saved? Eh? You thought you were saved before. Every man is saved. As everybody is getting born like this, they're just saved. Is every man a sinner when they are born? I'm asking a question now. Eh? Okay. So, how does one become a sinner? When you reject the wisdom of God. Because I just thought to say, that's not part of the teaching, but I just thought to mention that. Sin is active. Sin is not passive. Sin is active. It means to miss out something. So, you have an arrow in your hand and you want to shoot at something. And if you miss out your target, that's where the word sin comes out from. To miss a mark. To miss a target. So for there to be sin, there is something that is missed. For all have sinned, who have come short of the glory of God. That is, the glory of God is the target. It is the target the man missed. And in that book of Romans, where Paul taught that glory of God, he taught it as the gospel. In chapter 1, he already started that it is the power of God unto salvation. We are not ashamed, Romans 1:17. So pay attention. Sin is active. Like faith is active. You know, I said, a man just being born by a pastor does not just get him saved. Eh? Yes. The same way, a baby just being born into the world, even by a prostitute, even by an armed robber, does not make him a sinner. The blood of sin does not run in him. Till there is an active hearing of the faith, of the gospel of Christ, and it is rejected. That rejection is sin. The question now is, what about people who never heard? Someone asked me that question some years ago. Said, what about someone who has never heard the gospel? I said, where is he? So that we can go and preach. Say, I don't know. Exactly. Focus on the one who have heard. I'll keep reaching out. Amen. I think we have a teaching that addresses this to an extent. As the years unfold, God willing, we are here for many, many, many more decades. Who would unveil it? There are things I cannot say now till we have done a bit of some study too. And then we will now see it better. But no man is born a sinner. David said, in sin my mother conceived me. David said it. Jesus did not say it. Peter did not say it. Paul did not say it. Paul did not infide. That's another thing. You can't take one scripture and say that's entirely biblical. A man will have to believe God to be called a believer. A man would have to sin against the man. He would have to miss the righteousness of God to be called the natural man. Is it making sense? To be called a sinner, probably, but better put. Yeah. Share with me about what you learned. What teaching did we address this a bit? Salvation, is it salvation through faith? Huh? Salvation through faith. Which series? Just listen to everything.